for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Spring Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, March the 23rd, 2008. Tom Stone is the speaker of this service, teaching on Passover.
And when Tom finishes this morning, we will all have communion together.
I love the praise this morning. I really did. God set some people free this morning in the praise. And it's not about me, it's not about anybody in this room, but it's all about Him. And if we remember that, then we'll get further along in this life in love and in peace. This day is supposed to represent the day of Passover. And it all started a long time ago. But it was for a very special reason. To set us free. Starting at that point, we was in bondage. Some of us still are bondage, but some of us have been set free. And as more that we get, then God sets us freer and freer and freer. But thank God we're living at this point in time. Because this is the day of our jubilee if God comes and sets us free. First off, I want to go back to the point of it starting, I feel. Let's go to Exodus 12:11. And I know Doc's going to talk about the events there, but I want to touch on something. Because we need to realize what all this is all about. Why we're supposed to come together on this day for this reason. Exodus 12. Before I start, I want to pray. Father, we come to You right now in the name of Jesus, Your beloved Son. We thank You, God. Let all things be said in clarity. Lord, I bind every spirit of confusion by the power and authority of Jesus Christ. I pull down everything that exalts itself above You. Lord, we release Your Spirit into this room and into the hearts, into the minds, and into the spirits of the people, Father. That we may go forth victorious in health. In Jesus' name we pray. It started in way back there. And really the month should be, this day has been moved forward 15, 20 some odd days probably. I'm just giving it a factor. And it says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, the month shall be unto you the beginning of the months. It shall be the first month of your years to you. And speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month they shall take them, every man, a lamb according to his household of their fathers, and a lamb for their house. This is the starting of the Passover. But the Passover was for a reason. Because, first off, touch on some things. The death angel was fixed to come. And there were 2 million Hebrew children in Egypt. And they were given this commandment, which should be a permanent commandment from that day forth, to take the implements. But at that time, it was a real lamb. It was real blood. And it was put over the post of their house for the death angel to pass over. These 2 million people, and it was talking about the firstborn of every male, every animal, every child, the firstborn would be destroyed. But thank God, He loved us. And He said, put the blood on your doorpost. But today He wants to put it on your heart. He wants to fix it in your mind. He wants to fix it in your spirit that it supersedes that He died, His blood was shed, that we put it on the mantles of our brains, the mantles of our minds, the mantles of our souls, the mantles of our heart. And this happens, and He seals you with His blood. People can't see it, but even the demons know it's there. We had an opportunity to experience this one day. We were sitting at a red light waiting for people to go, and there was five or six cars in front of us. And all of a sudden, this lady, boom, hits us in the rear end. The light turned green. The cars in front of us hadn't moved, and we wasn't fixing to run over them, but they run over us. And I got out of the car, and I was having a bad hair day. I didn't have my Pentecostal hairdo on. I didn't have my Pentecostal suit. I had my Levi's, and they were dirty. My T-shirt was stained. I did not look like a Pentecostal preacher in any fashion or form, a preacher of any kind. And we got out to see what the car looked like. And this lady said, "Did you hurt my car? Did you hurt my car? Did you hurt my car?" I said, "Your car? You ran into us." And out of that mouth of that person said, "You must be one of those holy rollers. A seal that cannot be seen. But I'm telling you right now, every demon in hell sees it." It started right then by the blood that was supposed to be put on the doorpost. It brought us into the Aaronic priesthood. Before that, it was Melchizedek. It brought us into the Melchizedek. Out of Melchizedek into the Aaronic priesthood. Then it set the laws down there. The things that we needed to abstain for our health. Because those kids, or those children then, were running amok. Even when Moses came down on Mount Sinai, they were having what? An orgy at the foot of the hill. And God changed things. He started writing down the things that we should abstain from. And there's some teachings that normally goes on at the camp that some of them were missed this go-around. And one of them was tattoos. And thou shalt not mark thy body with a tattoo. If you got one, just let it go. Because it happened before you was told. But what happens there, you form a blood covenant with the person that puts it on you. You form a soul tie, a blood covenant. Same thing about the piercing of the ears. You get your ears pierced. That is a signification of slave to the world. Because that's what they've done to slaves. You form a blood covenant with those people that pierce your ears. But see, we didn't touch on that earlier. But those things are there. And they're all there. You just got to find them. Because we need to come free from the world. You're in the world, but you don't need to be of the world. If you had these things done to you, repent and realize they were wrong. And God says He will forgive you. Because that's what His blood is all about. Once we come to the knowledge of the truth, that we can come underneath the blood, it's underneath the blood. But don't go back and do it again. But God took us through all this time. All these laws is to show you what sin is, that you could abstain from that sin. And you can love this situation because I don't want to hurt my Heavenly Father. Because He loved you enough to let His Son come. He was manifested in the flesh. He was with God when all this was written down. And then He came in the flesh to show us and give us the keys. Yes, and I know this is the day of the Passover and we're supposed to take of the blood and the wine. But the bread and the wine. But we need to understand some things. We need to pull down some erroneous teachings. We need to pull down some, sacred cows. Remember what we used to say, pulling down sacred cows? I'm going to shoot one of them. Sacred cows, these idols that we worship, these idols, things that we do and we don't even realize. And sometimes we even put ourselves, I want to have some fun, Glenn. I don't want to go to church. I want to go out bass fishing every Sunday or every Wednesday night or every Sunday night or every night. I want to go fishing every night. That fishing pole is your God. That thought of pleasing the flesh is an idol. And we need to pull it down. We need to be able to be not esteem one day over the other. We need to esteem every day as the same. as God created every day of the week. He's God of Monday, He's God of Tuesday, He's God of Wednesday, He's God of Thursday, God of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. He needs to be in our hearts continually. Continually. Ready. At any moment. To give an account. Who you are. But guess what? You got that seal on your head. They will know who you are. They're not going to have to say, who is that person? They will know who you are. As a matter of fact, my house has got a big X on it. The Jehovah's Witness won't even step foot on my property because I presented Jesus Christ to them in a way that they couldn't deny. Matter of fact, they would go, can I use your shirt for a minute? The elders would tug on their younger people and say, come on out of here. We got to go someplace else. But God is real. Let's go to Luke 22. I want to touch on one thing. And by the way, this is the first place that the Passover was represented, and there's four more in the New Testament. And the Lord showed me really something here that I would like to share. That I need to get back to what God wants me to do. Luke chapter 22, two more pages, Tom. And I want to look at chapter 22, verse 15. This is before he went to the cross. And he said unto him, I have desired to eat the Passover with you before I suffer. He suffered already. But if you read in John, he says, he comes together with the apostles after that, and the people in the upper room, which some people say that the upper room that they met in that night was the same night, the same place that everybody gathered together and the Holy Spirit came in to them. And some people say that. I don't know if that's really true. But it could be. It was an upper room, and it was a place, a hall for them to meet and have the Lord's Supper. But he also said, I desire to have communion with you again. And he was already resurrected. God desires to commune with us today with His love, with His compassion, with His desires. I desire to commune with God today. I desire to hear His voice. I desire to have His caress around you. I desire to have that fellowship with Him. Because He will love you right where you're at. We've been teaching the Book of Solomon. And oh, that's a love story. You want God to love you? He does. Every time that Holy Spirit comes down, you get those little bumps on you. I like that. Because I know that it's His left hand behind my head and His right arm around me. And it flows from the top of your head. It don't flow from your belly or your loins or whatever. It flows from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. That communication with the Father. And He wants us to bring us in to that Holy of Holies. He wants to bring us in and pull us. And He desires to commune with us. He desires to hear our hearts. And He's heard some people's hearts today. He's heard your heart cry. He's heard your heart cry. And I thank You, Father, for Him. I thank You for Him. Lord, I thank You for this man right here. Lord, just strengthen him, Father. Put Your girdle around his loins, Lord God, for the walk ahead. Because he walks in Your Spirit, Father. And in truth, we thank You for Him. And raise up His physical body. We thank You and we praise You and glorify Him. For yes, sir, I am with Thee. I'm strengthening You this very moment. I've set my desires in Your heart for a reason. And Moses I called when he was 80. And I'll say, I am old. There's a walk ahead of you, sir. Walk in my shoes. Stand strong, my son, saith the Lord. For thou seest with the spiritual eye. But move in my love. Move in my power. Listen to my voice. Listen to my voice. He's pulling down things, but He's building up. Yes, and you will walk in them. Be strong and good courage and faint not. Gird up thy loins. Be strong. There's times ahead. But I will be with you. Because thy children are going to look. And they're going to see the redemption of the Lord. Oh, they wander. But yet the Lord has a string on them. A hook in their jaw. He says, and salvation will come to thy household. Thou feelest like you have been adopted. Yes, you have. You've been adopted to the Father. He showed you many things. And He's going to let you walk where your heart desires, as long as your desires are in Him. Amen. We thank You, Father, for Him. Now strengthen him. Enlarge his gates, Father, as he goes forth. But Lord, let it be in love and wisdom and power and might.
Amen.
You're truly a bride. You bless people when they don't even know they've been blessed. The Lord says you are a blessing. Even though you walk through some very hard times, He says, I restore. I restore what the canker worm, the pommel worm, the caterpillars ate. And I will set you upon high. We thank you for the concern in your heart. God works in the cool of the day. Have you heard His voice? He wants to talk to us. He wants to tell us that He loves us. He wants to touch us in a way that we haven't been touched before. Fear not, my son. Fear not. Peace will come. Oh, trouble seems like it's on every hand. But I say, peace will come. We thank you for this man's life. Lord, we lift it up to you right now in Jesus' name. For this one right here, the desires of his heart, Father. Lord, let the desires of his heart become full. Yes, he's walked in shoes, Lord God, that he thinks nobody else has walked in. But God, you've walked in them because you carried him through those times. And you hear his heart's cry. And you know his desires of his heart. You see the hunger in his heart, Father. Lord, fill him. Fill him. Fill him today. In the name of Jesus. That also goes for his bride. The times look rough. Look to one another. But before you look to one another, you look unto him. And he will carry out everything he says to you. Lord has wants and desires to commune with you. And guess what? He will get your attention one way or the other. He's got my attention many times. Because it's not good to be separated from the Father. It's not good to be separated. It hurts. And He'll get your attention. Because He's a Father that's willing to correct you. And some of the troubles you comes upon you, they are troubles, yes. They are trials. They are tribulations. Because that's what problems are, tribulations. But those tribulations are there for strengthening. Because when the storm blows a plant, it wiggles the stem, and the stem gets strong. When the mighty winds come, they might bend, but they won't be moved. And they will stand back up strong. But when you're bent over, you come to His feet. He says, yes, Lord Jesus, what have I done? How have I separated myself from you? Have I blamed you for this situation? That will separate you. But God wants to restore you. He's in the restoration business. This is what this is all about right here. If we do it properly, these are really healing implements. If we're in the right relationship with God and we have confessed everything, when we take this, we have a perfect right to perfect health. not to live for eternity in these physical bodies, but until He calls you home. And when He calls you home, it's not going to be like seeing the death angel either. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6. I want to show you something. And yes, and there's vials that's being released in the earth. But in Revelation chapter 6, chapter 8. Yep, verse 8. Chapter 6, verse 8. But I want to read something first. It says, "And the opening of the seals in order." And verse 8, he says, "And look, behold, a pale horse. And his name was set on him was Death." The angel of death. Because he said, "I'll send a death angel over Egypt." But he warned them to apply the blood to the posts and to their house and eat what he told them to eat. It nullified the death angel. And yes, we're going to die. This flesh will die. But guess what? If you're found in Him and the blood of Jesus Christ is applied to you, you will not see the death angel. And the next very horse was, "And hell followed him." You will not see the death angel, nor you will see hell following him. So we need to be in Jesus Christ. We need to pull down vain imaginations. We need to pull down witchcraft today. Words of manipulation. We need to pull down anger. Because anger is witchcraft. Because anger, I'm going to get mad, Carla. I'm going to blow up. I'm going to throw my hissy fit. Trying to control Carla or Tamara. And guess what? If you get controlled by the other person's anger, you get both in a fit. And you're both out of whack. You're both are separated from God. You're both out of fellowship. Somebody's got to step up and say, "I refuse to get angry in Jesus' name." We need to tear down some witchcraft. And these things need to come out of our heart. They don't need to come out of our minds. Because God came to give us a spirit of love and a power and a sound mind. I don't like tribulations. Sometimes I didn't even like what God was doing. But I said, "Yes, sir." Because I knew who was speaking. You get caught in an automobile wreck, and the other person is going 60 miles an hour and you're going 40 miles an hour, and you meet headlight to headlight. Guess what? It hurts. I don't know if I was in the wrong, but I was in my ditch completely over. I got out off the highway in the ditch on the right hand side, and he come all that way, and I said, "It hurt." Then he told me, "Pray for the guy that liked to kill me." Didn't want to do it, Tamara. But I said, "Yes, sir." And out of that came a preacher that I laid my hands on. He went to Israel and started preaching in Jesus' name. By the way, you get in trouble for preaching in Jesus' name over in Israel. You get thrown in jail because they don't believe the Messiah has come. 500 souls were baptized unto him. And I didn't know. My head would hurt. My neck hurt. Every time I picked up my head, I had to do this for a year. But there were some things I had to go through. I had to learn how to forgive. I had to forgive that man, the EMT, the cop, the ambulance driver, the physician at the hospital. And the biggest one was the lawyer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They don't get hurt. They don't shed a drop of blood. Yeah, and then he bleeds you. And they let you starve, by the way, until the court's done 3 years later. And you needed the money 2 years, 9 months ago to pay up your bills. And you really don't. And when you get into the situation, you really didn't want the lawyers or the courts to be involved at all. But they do. Insurance people. They're in law and they are involved in our lives so much today as they control the world anymore. The financial system controls the world. But guess what's going to happen to the financial system? It's going to crash. It started at 9/11. And if you fold a $10 bill or a $20 bill at the right way, you will see it was already prophesied in our finances. You can actually see the Twin Towers burn. Try it. After service, come up to me and I'll show you what I'm talking about, if I've got one. I said, if I've got one. All right, you bring one. But God sees us. And if we hear the voice of the Lord, sometimes He even wants to turn us away from a prayer meeting for you to go to a certain place for Him to commune with you. I read one testimony of a fellow that was in Japan, Christian. He was going to the fellowship to pray that day. And the Lord said, don't go to the church. Come up on the mountain and worship me. Guess what? When he got halfway up the mountain, he went behind a big boulder and the atomic bomb fell and blowed up. And he was saved. By listening to the voice of the Lord. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We need to turn up our amplifiers to our hearing. And yes, we all got discernment. But what do you do with the discernment? Do you use it as judgment? Or do you use it as mercy? And we need to learn how to use it as mercy. Because every one of us is a stranger in a land that we're not supposed to be in. But we need to know who we are. Everybody needs to, I'm going to do a little book advertisement right now, but you need to get hold of Brother Glenn's little booklet back there. It is truth, it is truth, it is truth. Is that the name of it? And it'll let you know who you are. But then, when we learn who we are, we better get a hold of Jesus Christ, that Holy Spirit, that wants to live within us. And then let Him manifest Himself through us. By speaking the truth. Pulling down vain imaginations. Pulling down those vain imaginations. Some of the imaginations is, I am greater than you, Father. Guess what? Whew. I don't want to stand too close to that person. And there's been people like that come here. I'm mad at God because they chose the parents that I've got. They surely have adopted me because they're not my parents. Because I was a kid one time and I thought that. Surely I'm adopted. They're not my parents. I want to lighten the situation up. I was caught there. But yet then I realize God chose them for a reason to grow me up and to search for Him. But when I searched for Him, guess what? I found Him. But I found what I know now, but there is more than what I understand. There's more than I can tell you. And I'm not standing up here saying, I got it all right. Because I need prayer at times. But as more we read this truth and we look between the lines and say, Father, You explain what You're trying to tell me. And when He does, guess what? You're going to hear the voice of the Lord. It may not be right then in a moment, but He will say, this is what the problem is. Sometimes it takes years. And sometimes it takes, bang, a moment. But the closer you get to Him, the shorter time it takes for Him to explain where I'm going wrong. He speeds up that time. He speeds up the day. How many in here has long weeks and short weeks? Does He not speed the time up? But yet the hour is still 24 hours a day, but the time just gets away. Especially when you're having fun in Him. Because if you ever got started in a prayer meeting and be down on your knees interceding for somebody and all of a sudden you look at your clock and you start at 7 and the next time you look at your clock it's 9 o'clock and where did the time go? Where did the time go? God wants to talk to us and He wants to talk to us quick. And as we need to be pressing in like we never pressed in before. Because everything in there is for us today. The miracles are there for us. The healings are there for us. The deliverances are there for us. But if He done them, He said, these things you shall do, and greater. But I've got to go to my Father. Now, so, Where does this ball land? He just chunks it out there. Do you catch it? Or you stand there and let it hit you in the head? We need to catch it. Where? In our hearts, in our minds, and our will and emotions. Because without catching it in our hearts, minds, will, and emotions, we catch it in our hearts, and that's the seat of our emotions, and we go, off over here and off over there. And we wind up with bipolar and all kinds of things. And I think, to a certain extent, I think we've all had a spirit of bipolar. Because sometimes we'd be going along fine, and somebody walk in the room, and they get madder than all kinds of blazes, you know. And we just flash, and we done lose it. And been there, done that. Don't like it. In fact, God said, get ye up and get you out of California. Because I had a situation that I become a tough man in the wrong place. And there was somebody going to come looking for me and wasn't going to be too kind. The Lord said, either you get out of here or you're going to wind up dead. Guess what? I heard the voice of the Lord. I moved 2,000 miles. Didn't have hardly a dime in my pocket. When I got to Arkansas, I had $50 in my pocket and I had to rent an apartment. Guess what? I prayed. I said, God, I need a job. If you don't have finances, pray this prayer. Lord, give me a job. Pray this prayer. Give me a job. It works every time. See? I had $50 in my pocket. I prayed that prayer. At the end of that week, I had $750 in my pocket. Do you want a blessing? You want to be a blessing? Pray that prayer. Lord, give me a job. And if you're going to retire, you need to retire to something. You need to be a blessing from the cradle to the grave. And children are a blessing. But guess what? Some parents rock you. And I'm not talking about a cradle. Some are big rocks and some little rocks. But guess what? We got to forgive them. And the key to all this is forgiveness. That of blood can come and be applied to you. That we might be healed. That we might be healed. Because it's time that Jezebel comes down. And guess what? That spirit of Jezebel can be in male or female. That Ahab spirit can be in female or male. Just because the man is to be the head, that don't mean we go in there and say, my way or the highway, or with a knuckle sandwiches. Because there's been thousands and thousands of women that felt the knuckles. And there's some in this room right here has felt that. Unfortunately, there might be some men in here that's done that. But I'm saying to you today that God can forgive you for it. That's time that the spirit of Antichrist comes down. It's got to come down. That the Holy Spirit can come forth. That we can receive that healing in our hearts, whether we're perpetrator or the victim. The perpetrator or the victim. Because I'm telling you what, people that don't realize it, just like in Leviticus chapter 18, he gives you all kinds of instructions on how to conduct yourself morally and physically. And if a man's approached any child in that way, they're dead already. Until it's confessed, until it's placed under the blood, it is there. Yeah, and there's all kinds of gifting and callings. And that haven't I preached in your name? Haven't I raised the dead in your name? Haven't I cast out devils in your name? He says, depart from me, I never knew you. He wants to deal with the pride from the basement to the castle. He wants to deal with the victim from the basement to the castle. Whatever sin. And sometimes we walk through life and we come to an area that there's a few other reasons why we get diabetes and these other kind of diseases is because we get caught in this situation. And we get pressed and we get pressed and we get pressed and we get pressed and we get angry at ourselves. We get mad at ourselves. We let a bitter spirit come upon us. We let a backbiting spirit come upon us. We want to blame somebody else all the time, but we don't realize, hey, it's my responsibility to forgive. To forgive them, especially if you blame God, you better start saying, God, forgive me for blaming you. And then forgive yourself. Forgiving yourself is the hardest one. But yet, He loved us, and how dare you hate yourself? God loved you, and He already died for you. 2,000 years ago, or do your own mathematics there. But and He loved you then, before any of these things happened to you. And how dare you hate yourself? How dare you release a spirit of destruction upon yourself? Because I said, I loved you, the Lord says. And I loved you. And I came and made provision for you to make the crooked way straight. And we need to quit vacillating, wobbling like a drunk. Here's the straight way, and we wobble over here for a while, and then we wobble over here for a while. We need to get it right. And when you get it straight with Him. And you get it straight with the Holy Spirit. You confess what has been going on in your mind, will, and emotions. And then that's when the seals becomes upon you. That's when the Holy Spirit comes down and abides in you. When you get it right, then you have the right to say no in Jesus' name. That's when you have the right to remit somebody's sins. Even after, over there in John, he says, I desire to have communion with you that I remit your sins and you remit other people's sins. But you can't have these things. We got to do it the way the Lord says, the way the Holy Spirit says. And the Holy Spirit's got to prick our heart. And without strong teachings that don't mess with our pride, how can you be pricked? And these words I'm not saying, the Father said. You get into the Word, you get into that Pentateuch, and you start learning the heartthrob of God, the do's and don'ts. And they'll mess with you. They'll mess with your stuff. But Jesus loves us so much that He says, follow me, because I love you. I choose to release you from those things if you love me and follow me and believe in me. First, the Holy Spirit's got to prick your spirit. And no man comes to the Father without the Holy Spirit pricking you and brings you in to a faith in Him. He said, they that believe in me, they that believe in me, they that believe in me will hear my voice and they shall follow me. Have you heard the voice of the Lord? Because it's going to pull down every spirit of imagination, every witchcraft spirit. Get ready. It's going to pull it down whether you want it to or not. Because I'm only Tom standing up here. We got a choice. You might walk into Ananias the Sapphira situation. You come up and you tell something that's not, and you lie to the Holy Ghost. Boom. It's coming. It's coming. But yet He's got His grace on us right now. But still we have this pride because we haven't let the wine press us. But I'm telling you right now, He's going to press that pride. You want to turn loose of it now? Or are you going to be pressed so thin that you look like a piece of paper? It'll hurt. Because this situation about the finances is going to fall, that's the press. That's one of the presses. Every trouble and trial and tribulation you walk through, it's a press. It's trying to press you. It's trying to press you. It's trying to press you into a situation. I'm going to tell a quick testimony and I'm going to shut up. My sister died not a month or two ago. But 2 years prior to that, her son died. And I started seeing a lot of things that was happening in her family. And when I went out there to the funeral, I was going to tell her what was going on. Just before I got to the town that where she lives, we got hungry and we stopped and got some tacos. I don't know what I got. They didn't find out and wouldn't or couldn't or wouldn't tell us. But I got that influenza out there. I truly believe I had in my mind I was going to set things right. Discernment turned into judgment, and judgment would have killed. It liked to kill me. because I threw up and I threw up and I threw up. I could not stay out of the bathroom. I held a waste paper can in this end and sitting on the, yeah, you know. But it was coming out. 15 pounds lighter, I wound up in the hospital. My skin, you know how you tell when you dehydrate, you could pull it up there? I was pulling it up further than this. And it was staying. See, it's already gone back. The Lord shut my mouth and almost take you to the point of death and say, God, forgive me. You know, and I still today, I haven't straightened that situation out. I left it alone. He spoke loud and clear. He will speak loud and clear. How many people like situations like that? I don't. That's live and learn. But when it comes, when you've gone through the situation, when you look like the canary that went through the fan backwards, you figure out, God, what did I do wrong? What have I done wrong? 15 pounds of flesh gone? What did I do wrong? Flesh with flesh. Tooth for tooth. Eye for an eye. Thank God for doctors. Until you can repent. And then when you find out, they're a good one to diagnose the situation. Listen very quickly to the doctor and then go home and start repenting. That's what they're there for. That's what they're there for. With that, I'm going to close. And then we're going to pray a little bit and then we'll have the communion. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing me to share. But God, let it not be me. Let it be you. Holy Spirit, I ask you to confirm what was spoken. Only you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I choose to step aside. Perform your word, Father. Let no pride come between me and you. Lord, and if I've spoken down to somebody, forgive me, Father. Because, Lord, I learned the lessons the hard way. And Lord, let not them go through some lessons. God, we thank you, we praise you, and glorify you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Okay, let's all stand up. You've been sitting long enough, listen to me. Just shake it around a little bit and get the blood flowing. Because a lot of times, it's been said that the mind can only endure what the posterior will endure. And when you sit down, your feet go to sleep, your back gets to hurting. So, Lord, release them in the name of Jesus right now, in pains and frustrations, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. Just repeat after me. You live in the Father? I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that Jesus came, manifested in the flesh, and He died, and He was buried, and arose, and now sitting in heavenly places, forever making intercession for us. Lord, I forgive my generations for generational sins that came down upon me, known or unknown. We release our generations now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can be seated. In Jesus' name we pray.
I want to read a scripture verse to you, then I want to talk to you a little bit about the word covenant. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord what which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do these things as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For so often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Therefore, let each man examine himself, and let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily, eats and drinks damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I'm going to talk about a covenant. See, this is the new covenant. Now, you know that when God gave the Ten Commandments and had Moses write down the ordinances, the commandments, and the judgments, and bring them down, established a covenant with the people of Israel. And they became a peculiar people to him, one that was separated, one that was to become a kingdom of priests to him. And Moses took it down, and he gave them and read it to them. They said, "This we will do." And then he killed some bulls, and he took the blood, and half of it he sprinkled on the people, and half of it he sprinkled on the text. Now, what was he doing? This is a blood covenant. The blood covenant was a covenant between two parties, a greater party and a lesser party. And the greater party says, "If you keep this covenant, I will provide for you and I will protect you, and you will be part of my family." The lesser covenant said, "I accept these conditions. I will accept your provision, your protection. You will be my Lord, and I will be a member of your family." Now, when they cut a covenant, they took, and this still happens in Africa today and in the Middle East, they took an animal. And they cut the animal in half, and they put one half on one side and one half on the other. And the two people who were making the covenant walked between the parts of the animal, and they met in the middle. And they exchanged gifts. And there it varies some. In some covenants, they would actually take blood and drink it, and then they would have a meal and a celebration together. And then they would separate a ring. They would give a ring of rope. One would take one would take... Others would cut a circle around their thumb and rub some gunpowder in it to make a scar. The lesser party would take the greater party's name, and the greater party would say, "All that I have is yours." And the lesser party would say, "All that I have is yours," and they would become one. And it's on this that the marriage ceremony is based. I hope you can see the semblance. Jonathan and David cut a covenant. The word in Hebrew is to cut a covenant. And when they met, Jonathan took off his robe, signifying his place in the king's household, and put it on David. And then he took off his sword, his armament, and his girdle. And he gave that to David. And David put these things on. And he became a member. He and Jonathan became members of the same family. And he promised Jonathan that he would always look after his family and protect it. And Jonathan said, "As long as I live, I will help protect your family."
And you remember that when David came back, he said, is there anyone in Jonathan's family that I can look after that's left alive? And they said, yes, there is one that's crippled in the feet, and he's in Lodabar, means way out yonder somewhere, hiding. Well, why should he be hiding? He was crippled. He wasn't a threat to David as a king, because he couldn't lead an army. But he could sire a son that would be a descendant of Saul that could lead an army against David. And so he went to hide way out there because he was afraid David would kill him. And David brought him back, and he ate at David's table the rest of his life. Now that is a covenant. And today we're celebrating communion. When you come to communion, you're celebrating your birth into God's family, the family of God. And you're saying to everyone that you take communion with, I am your brother, I am your sister. All that I have is yours. If you have a need, I will help meet it. All that you have is mine. And we're all members of the family of God, and our name is Christian. Brothers and sisters. And so when you come, before you come, I ask you to search your hearts. If you've got aught in your heart against anyone, forgive them and pray God's mercy upon them so that you walk under the covenant. The word covenant has the word curse built into it. The word covenant has the word curse built into it in Hebrew. And it says you will be blessed if you keep the conditions. You will be cursed and die if you don't. That's the reason there are many sickly. And so it's a solemn time. It's a time of celebration. It's a time of coming together as a family and celebrating who we are in Jesus Christ. It's also a very solemn time of remembering your obligation to the family of God, to loving your neighbor as yourself, to lifting up your fellow Christian. Does that mean if somebody won't work, you're supposed to feed them? No. The Bible says, he does not work shall not eat. Brother Worley used to say, this man said, well, I'm waiting on God. He said, that's fine. You wait here, in 90 days I'll bury you. He says, by then you'll be starved to death, and I'll see to it that you get a good Christian funeral. Because if you won't work, I'm going to tell these folks not to feed you. And I always thought that was a very good answer to the people who were sitting around and won't work, who were waiting on God. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Clement, come up here and stand with us. Jim. Linda. Don. Tom. Come in.
When you receive the bread and the wine, hold it. We will pray and all partake together. This is the first. We'll distribute the bread. Has everyone been served? And when he given thanks, he break it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we take your body, and we thank you, Lord God, that you was broken and you stood the stripes at the whipping post. And by your stripes we have been healed. We speak healing to all disease in this place today by the stripes of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we command all sickness, infirmity to be gone. And we speak the healing grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Please hold the cup until all have been served.
The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it soothes my doubts and calms my fears, and it wipes away all my tears. Oh, it's the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yes, it's the blood that gives me strength. From day to day, it will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Oh yes, it's the blood that gives me strength. From day to day, it will never lose. It will never lose. It will never lose its power.
In the same manner, also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed for thee for the remission of your sins, drink this now in remembrance of him and his death and passion for you, and his resurrection, that you might be justified before God for the remission of your sin." Amen.
Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow.
Yes, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Go in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Lord, we bless the food. Make it health to us and to all who travel. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.